Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. And a welcome as well to those who are joining us on the online. We're pleased that you have found us and joined us in worship this morning. The announcements were on the screen as you were entering this morning, and throughout the next several weeks, do plan to be here early, perhaps, and get a chance to look at the screens, because there will be lots of things coming up in the life of the congregation as we move over the next It's this time in a month, we'll be getting ready for Christmas Eve. Okay? So just, that's your warning. It's coming. No, as we move towards Christmas, there will be a lot of events happening, and so you will want to make note of those. In preparation for the Christmas season and all of the special music that we often associate with it, a reminder to those who are interested in being part of the what we refer to as the pickup choir, short-term choir, over the next several weeks. If you would like to join us in the choir, we would welcome your presence. No experience necessary. To begin, we will we are meeting for the next several weeks, therefore, downstairs in the choir room after worship to practice a couple of special pieces of music for a couple of the Sundays and for the special services that will be part of Advent and Christmas. So please join us. Next week is going to be Communion Sunday, so do make note of that. And for those who join us online, a reminder that we do make pre-filled cups with the little wafer on top. We still make those available to members of the congregation who would like to receive those. And if you are one of those, please make sure that Brenda is very good at knowing who her regular customers are, but if you're not a regular customer, please let us know and we'll make sure that you get one of those for next week. And during the season of Advent, there is a special Advent Bible study looking at the texts behind some of those beloved pieces of music that we sing at this time of year. So that will be an online-only study. Online only. It's a Zoom study. It's going to happen on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. And we're grateful to the Reverend Dr. Pat Dutcher-Walls, who, not for me, maybe for Mark. Was she your professor, Mark? Was Pat Dutcher-Walls your professor? Yes, she was. Mark knows Pat better than I do. Pat was a professor at Knox College and then moved to Vancouver School of Theology. And this year she is serving as the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. And she has made these study resources available. And so we're grateful to her. And we look forward to the Advent study. That is Thursday morning, 10 a.m., for an hour on Zoom. If you want the Zoom link, contact us here at the church office and we will make sure that you have them. Have that. Just a minute. I got one more, but I can't remember which one I haven't said yet. Coffee hour. There's coffee hour this morning. And there were ladies in the kitchen when I came in, and I usually pull in and the parking lot is just a barren wasteland. This morning, it was full because there were ladies in the kitchen preparing for coffee hour. So stay for coffee hour this morning. There are sandwiches, and there will be a wonderful time of refreshment and a time for fellowship. So please do that. Da-da-da! Your turn.
I believe we have truly got a surprise going on here today, and I think Reverend Adams and his family are truly surprised by all of this. So yay to everybody who didn't let the cat out of the bag. First of all, thank you to everyone who has helped put this together. And sorry for the surprise. I know how much you hate them. Sorry. could I invite Wes and Trish and Colleen and Mariah and Robert to come on down here, please?
I don't know. My microphone is on. I was going to say, you know, I was buzzing around this morning, and I thought, who are the balloons for? And I thought, well, somebody else is going to take care of that.
There you go. Yeah, come on over here, too.
I have to go to my spot.
I'm looking through the balloons. That's okay. Reverend Adams and Colleen and Mariah and your entire family, on behalf of our congregation, happy 5th anniversary. Woo! It was November 18th, am I right? 2019, when you came to join us in Cornwall and began your ministry with us. We are so happy that God's plan brought our paths together. We are blessed that you are leading our ministry. Our greater faith community is blessed to have you in it, as is our community at large. Our congregation sees you as both a minister and the extended family, but we see you as friends. And I think that's how you start every service, Robert, is you say friends. And that's how it's very nice to have that. We look forward to locking arms to continue God's work and to move in the direction that he sends us. And Wes? And on behalf of the congregation, I am happy to present you both with a card and gift to recognize this occasion.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. These are movable.
Do you want to say anything, or can I just take a photo?
You can just take a photo. All I want to say is thank you.
And I'm going to invite Michelle up to do the session summary at this point.
Thank you.
Good morning. Session met on Tuesday, November 19th at 5:30 p.m. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 to 7, which reminds us that we believe in a God that has great plans for us. We are citizens of the world, and we are citizens of God. And we are blessed to live in the world as the children of God, with the understanding that there are greater hopes to come. We approve the following gifts for mission and outreach from the Session Trust Fund: $200 each to Center 105 and the Place of Hope Indigenous Presbyterian Church, and $300 to the Gracefield Christian Camp. Trish Brown reported that 26 people participated in Pumpkin Inferno, and it was wonderful that it was such an intergenerational event. Plans are underway for a few Friday night events, including pizza and practice for the Christmas pageant. More details to come. Worship and Music Committee reported that the Advent activities are planned, including a carol service on December 22nd and guest musicians for Christmas Eve. White Gift Sunday for Agape and Baldwin House will be on December 8th. The pageant will be on December 15th, which is also Ugly Christmas Sweater Day. The tech team is seeking volunteers to help run the audio and visual support on Sunday mornings. They are also looking for an iPad running iOS 8 or later, and for a large TV monitor to replace the television in the youth room. Please see Dan regarding those needs. Discussion took place about hymns, and it was decided that there should be a good mix of old and new hymns. For new hymns that are not in the hymn books, music will be supplied to make the melody easier to follow. Plans are underway for Black History Month service on February 9th. Session has chosen Baldwin House to be the recipient of the Christmas Eve offering, and Session accepted Wes Libby's resignation with regret and thanks. Wes has been an elder for 45 years and a trustee for 41 years. His intentions are to retire from the eldership and chair of the trustees at the end of 2024. On behalf of the congregation, we thank Wes for his service and dedication to the leadership of our church. Let's have a little applause for Wes. And Reverend Adams closed the meeting with benediction, and the next meeting of session will be December 10th. That concludes the session summary. Thank you.
Just to put a little bit of meat around a bone on the session summary, this being that gift-giving time and electronic buying time, especially over the next week or so with Black Friday and Cyber Monday, the thought is if you are improving your TV at your house and you don't know what to do with your old ones, those can we would happily take probably a couple of those for use throughout the building. So just make note of that. We are looking for flat panels, and that's part of that television announcement. As we come into God's presence this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we who are His faithful people walk in His light. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the house of our Lord this morning. Through the power of God, Christ our Lord sits upon the throne of truth.
As we worship, may this truth guide our thoughts.
Christ our Lord sits on the throne of love.
May this love guide our hearts.
Let us worship our Lord, who leads the way. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Sovereign God, come to us now in silent, holy power. Still our distracted minds, our bruised hearts, our longing bodies. Then speak to us. Speak the power of Jesus' name in such a way that we might hear it, in such a way that we might bear it into the world, as a people who seek not to preserve what we know, but to make palpable who you are. For we move and pray by the gift of your breath within us. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 267 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before us on the screens, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Thanks, O God, all sing and joy unveil.
Friends, it is only by the power of God that we are able to stand against evil. Trusting in God's grace, let us come this morning confessing our sin as we say together the prayer as it appears before us on the screens. Holy God, how often we trust in the promises of earthly rulers instead of the power of your love. Help us to turn our hearts toward you. Restore us in your love, and set us free to forgive as we have been forgiven. By the grace and mercy of Christ. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. It cannot be contained, but must be poured out. Believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, our sin is forgiven. Live as people who have been set free and give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Once more, let us turn in praise and sing number 268 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before us on the screen, All Hail King Jesus. This is a short piece, so we will sing it through twice.
Thank you.
And if I could invite young people to come forward this morning. You can come if you want, Serge. The young and the young at heart. Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Good. Oh, Janiyah's got a place for you over here, Raylin, if you want. No? Okay. I have a picture to share with us all this morning. Zap! There it is. Know what it is, Preston? Checker game, right? It's a checkerboard. Who plays checkers? Are you good at it?
No.
No? Yeah. I never quite got it either. I'm going to be dead honest with you. But it's kind of a cool game, right? And what's the object of checkers? You move your player along the board until you get all the way to the other end, right? And then what happens? You win. Well, then something happens to your checker. What happens to your checker?
Well,
there's that, right? While you're trying to get to one end, he's trying to get to the other, or she, and they can jump you and take your checker off the board, right? I hate it when that happens. But when you get to the other end, if you make it all the way safely there without getting jumped,
Close.
It doesn't go wherever it wants to. It's still stuck within those diagonals, right? But it becomes a king, right? And that's pretty important because, like Jake said, when we get to the other side and we get a king, then the king not only can move forwards, but he can move backwards too, right? And so it becomes a powerful piece. If your opponent gets two or three checkers to the other end, and you're not so lucky, it gets really hard to win the game, doesn't it? Because they can jump wherever, not wherever they want, but they can jump more freely. They can chase you down regardless of where you are. Yes, Preston? Well, they jump over the square, right? If you're on a square and the other person is next to it, they can jump you. And then you lose your checker. So that's what happens. They don't get on it. They jump over you and take your checker away. So those kings, though, they're very important if you're playing, right? That's what you're trying to do in the middle of the game. You're trying to get to the other end so you have that powerful player. Now, this morning is a special day in the church. This morning is what we call Christ the King Sunday. And one of the things that we remind ourselves is that when we use those words about Jesus, that Jesus is the King and the Lord, he's a very different kind of king than most other kings, including the king on the chessboard. Right, we want the king on the chessboard because it has that special power. But Jesus doesn't use special power to kind of defeat us. He doesn't use his special power to take things away, but he uses the power that he has to build things up, to encourage us to be loving and kind with others and to care for one another in various ways. And so I wanted to bring this image for us this morning, this idea of the checkerboard, as a way of thinking about how earthly kings work, but to also remind us that the Jesus who we come to worship is a king who doesn't come to seek to be a powerful type of person, but as someone who seeks to be with us and to be like us in many ways, including sharing in our weakness and helping us to overcome them. So that's our story for this morning. So thank you for your attention. It was really good. Downstairs this morning, we're getting ready for the pageant in 3 weeks. Wow. 3 weeks to the pageant. So you guys can go off now, and Trish is going down, and we'll see you after worship. Come back for lunch this morning. And I would invite you to join me in prayer. Let us pray. Spirit of truth, move now in ancient words and cluttered hearts, that we might hear your voice and live. For we long to be glad servants of your hidden holy reign. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Prince of Peace. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Daniel chapter 7, a couple of verses 9 and 10 and 13 and 14. It's on page 851 in the Old Testament part of your Pew Bible if you wish to follow. Page 851. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the ancient one and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. The psalm that we read this morning is number 93, and it will be visible on the screen in front of you. We read this responsively. The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He is girded with strength. He has established the world. It shall never be moved.
Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting.
The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring.
More majestic than the thunders of mighty waters. More majestic than the waves of the sea. Majestic on high is the Lord.
Your decrees are very sure. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. And the New Testament reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. And it's in the New Testament part of your Pew Bible, page 234. Page 234. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Thanks be to God for his message to us.
Once more, let us turn in praise to the hymn, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun, number 275 in your book of praise, or as it will appear before us on the screens. Our gospel reading is taken from John chapter 18, reading verses 33 to 37. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Then Pilate entered his headquarters once more and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" Friends in Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On Monday morning, I boarded an airplane in Prince Edward Island to return to Ottawa after a week at home. It was a typical PEI November while I was at home, gray and rainy. On Remembrance Day, when I flew in, I arrived in the rain. Monday passed when I walked out to the airplane and left. I left in the rain. And there was not a moment of sunshine in the intervening 7 days from the time I arrived to the time I left. So any of you who ever think of PEI and just think, beaches, no beaches in November. And as we drove to the airport on that morning, my mother jokingly said, well, I suppose it will be sunny above the clouds. And indeed, it was. In fact, the only sun that I saw that day was at 30,000 feet or so as we soared above all of the gray clouds below. And there really was very little break at all. Maybe a small break over, I think we were over Nakawik, New Brunswick. But I'm not sure they were seeing sun either. But I could just make out the pulp mill below. Weather is changeable. But on that day that it was gray on the ground below, as we flew above the clouds, it was blue sky and sunshine. The epistle reading for this morning, taken from the opening verses of the book of Revelation, speaks to us of this story that is written to the church that was living under persecution. Estimated to have been written somewhere around the year 90, these young Christian communities to whom John writes were living during the reign of the Roman Emperor Domitian and the waning days of the Roman Empire. These were perilous times. You see, the young Christian community was being blamed for the downward turn in the Roman society, for all of its excesses and all of its failures. And John, the author of Revelation, is imprisoned on the island of Patmos, a small island off the coast of kind of Turkey, that area where Turkey meets Syria in the Mediterranean Sea. Patmos was a geographic prison. It was an island that was a penal colony where the Romans detained anyone who might be a challenge to their authority. For these early Christians to whom John writes, these were surely gray days. Gathering in secret, communicating with symbols and hidden language that would be known to them but obscure to the Romans, they sought to survive and to continue in the faith. And it is in this context that John writes to these communities of faith. As faithful people down through the ages, John reminds these churches of the power and the provision of God. Throughout the book of Revelation, we're given glimpses of the kingdom of heaven. Every now and then, every three or four chapters, the clouds draw back for just a moment, and the church is allowed to see into the very throne room of heaven, with Jesus seated upon the throne, surrounded by the saints who sing his praise. It is for us a reminder of the ever-present reality of our God, a God that watches over us in all of life, in joy and in sorrow, But John goes further. John, in these verses, reaches back into the book of Exodus and God's self-identification as the great I am. Note how John begins the reading that we have this morning, those words of verse 4. While we often refer to the eternal nature of God's reign as that which was and is to come, John here does not take that linear view of time, but John begins in the here and now. John begins, "Grace to you and peace from the God who is and who was and who is to come." For John, there is no more important message to communicate to the church than that God is with them now. John begins this letter with this assurance that the Christian faith is not some foggy remembrance of the past, nor is it some distant future hope, but that the Jesus who saves us is present now, sunshine beyond the clouds, and that our world must unavoidably bend toward Jesus' reign of justice and peace. An eternal God is meaningless if our faith means nothing now. Think about it. Reflecting on these readings this past week for Christ the King Sunday, I was reminded of all of the turmoil and grayness that seems to be filling our lives these days. What does it mean to believe in a sovereign God in that context? What does it mean to be a Christian community in the year 2024, almost 2025? How are we to respond to the challenges that surround us, challenges of racism and othering that seems far too prevalent on our social media feeds these days? What is the church's response to economic injustice and the lack of a fair sharing of the world's resources with all people? What can we do to address homelessness and hunger and the callous indifference of the plight of many that is rising in our society? These are big questions. They are overwhelming questions. And yet we know that God has blessed this world, blessed it with enough. One of the great tenets, one of the great assertions of the church is that God in his creation created sufficiency. That part of our sinfulness is that we have taken sufficiency and claimed it. The sufficiency of the system and claimed it as our own, and therefore others live without. But in this blessed world that is blessed with enough, while things may look bleak, God is blessing the world with his church, whose mission is to live out the kingdom of God. And just as Revelation returns time and time again to the throne room of God to witness to the worship of him who sits upon the throne, so too to the church's mission begins and returns always to worship. In reading for this morning, I came across this sentence. The worship life of the Christian community becomes part of the work through which God is continuing to transform the world. Imagine that. That what we are doing right here and right now has significance. that it is part of the work through which God is transforming the world. Here in worship, here at St. John's or in any number of the 100 churches or so that must exist here in the city of Cornwall, thousands across our country, around the world. Here in this worship space, the story of God's redemptive love for the world is told, and in adoration and in praise, we join our voices with that great crowd of witnesses who stand before the throne of God and give him glory. The vision that we cast as in our worship more closely reflects the worship of the kingdom of God than it does those things that lay beyond these four walls. It is what makes the church this strange reality, both sanctuary, walled off from that which is without, and beacon that holds forth a light against the excesses of our world and declares that God requires better of us. We who sit here and we who go out into the world to influence governments and societies. But it starts here with the vision of a kingdom that is filled with justice and peace, the kingdom of God. It's why the book of Revelation remains for us this great fascination and mystery. We're never quite sure about what Revelation says. It is indeed written in that coded language of the people of God that John was writing to, who were communicating in such a way so that nobody else could understand. And we thank them, the church, for that gift to us, because there are parts of the book of Revelation that we do not fully understand. But what we do understand is this amazing vision of a kingdom set apart, a kingdom upheld for us to strive toward, where peace and justice and the unity of the Holy Spirit will reign. Where the peace and the justice and the unity of the Holy Spirit reign. Not will reign, not have reigned, but reign right now. It is then for us who are the church to in prayerful discernment, determine what it means to be the church in the world and to hold up a vision that is different from all of those things that surround us, knowing that Jesus is working out that kingdom. And we are a part. Perhaps the most interesting, I always like this one anyway, the best articulation of this reality in which we live, where we live as part of the kingdom of this world, but it's also as citizens of the kingdom of God in this very moment, was summed up by Saint Teresa of Avila, who lived in Italy in the 1500s. And she wrote a poem which begins with these words that I share with you today. Saint Teresa writes, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion out upon the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, yours are the body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion upon the world. Let us look with compassion upon the world in which we live. Let us, as we do so, let us be mindful that that compassion that we look upon the world with is nothing other than the vision of God's kingdom. And let us commit ourselves to being God's servant people, bringing healing and hope to the world in which we live. And for all of that, we give thanks to God. Amen. The affirmation of faith for this morning is once more taken from Living Faith, which is a statement of faith produced by the Presbyterian Church in Canada. We read chapter 3.5 this morning, entitled, Jesus is Lord. Jesus suffered, died, and was buried. But God raised him from the dead. Risen and ascended, he is alive now, the living Lord. Resurrection means that our faith is not empty, that final victory is assured over all evil powers which destroy and deform life, and that death, the last enemy, is conquered. The forces of the evil one still wage war against us. The destructive powers are still present, but their end is not in doubt. We await the full revelation of our Lord's triumph. We worship our ascended Lord, reigning in glory and power. He is our high priest and advocate, interceding before the Father on our behalf. Through him, we offer our sacrifice of praise with prayer for all of the people. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Heed now his words with grateful hearts as we present our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, you call us from every tribe and nation, language and people, to share in your everlasting kingdom. Bless these gifts that we offer, that we may extend your blessing to others in Christ's name. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Sovereign God, your realm is unlike the world we see around. Your realm bends toward those the world would rather forget. Your realm outshines the world in grace and forgiveness, justice and generosity. Your realm renders worth by the simple truth of your unlimited love for all humanity. Yet, when we gaze around our communities, when we open our newspapers or apps, scroll our social media or television channels, we are too often hounded by images and stories of destruction, revenge, imbalance, and discrimination, where those who need the most help are afforded the least. And in these moments, something kindles our souls and tells us that this is not the way the world should be. So, gracious God, we bring before you our prayers for our world, our prayers for our community, and our prayer for those who burden our hearts at this time. We pray this morning for those women who have been victims of gender-based violence. We pray for all those who have received support and for those and have begun to forge new lives, and for those who still live in threatening circumstances. We pray for governments at all levels that they might increase their support of women in crisis in this country and advocate for those who face violence because of their gender around the world. We pray for areas in the world where people are enduring widespread violence. We pray for peace in war-torn areas such as Ukraine, Darfur, Iraq, Syria, Ethiopia, in the Central African Republic. We pray for those in our communities who feel disconnected from others, for those who are isolated in any way, those who are dealing with substance use issues, with mental health concerns, depression, and anxiety. Holy Spirit, bring calm and bring stillness. We pray for those who work to help our communities. We pray for those who work for the police and fire services, our health centers, social work departments, and charities that support those who are struggling. Sustain them when they cannot see an end to their work or when work is overwhelming in any way. Help them to be open to supports when they are on offer, and give them the strength to humbly accept help when needed. We pray for ourselves. We pray for those times when we've felt the sting of judgment and criticism. Help us to put these moments into your hands, and help us through the compassion of the Holy Spirit to respond in honesty with gentleness and kindness. May we be aware of our own moments of prejudice, moments when we judge without thinking. and help us rely on the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, everywhere we are and everywhere we go. And we pray for those we know and love. We pray for those with life-limiting, life-altering, life-ending conditions. We pray for those with dementia and Alzheimer's disease and those who care for them. We pray for those with complex dietary conditions, struggles with food, and those who do not have enough to live on. And in these moments of stillness, we name before you in silence those who weigh heavy on our hearts this morning. Everlasting God, ruler of the world and sovereign of our hearts, beginning and end, first and last, Alpha and Omega, help us this week to bear your image well in our world, and may those we meet and encounter experience something of your realm, your ethereal culture in us. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is hymn 275 in the Book of Praise, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun, hymn number 275, or the hymn as it appears before. Oh, Crown Him with Many Crowns. We're going to sing Crown Him with Many Crowns. 274, not 275.
Oh,
as we come to the close of worship this morning, we are introducing a new closing, choral closing at the end of worship this morning. We'll use it for the next 5 weeks as we go through the season of Advent. So this morning, we're going to play it through the first time, and the choir and I will sing it through. If you know it, please feel free to join in. The second time, however, it will be your opportunity. So we will sing soon, very soon, in just a moment. Soon, very soon. Friends, God has made us to be a kingdom of priests, to love God and serve the world. Therefore, let us go in peace, to love and to serve. And may the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty, be your strength, your hope, and your joy, this day and forevermore. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going.